Chapter 6. Carter. 10 minutes ago, I'd been fixing myself a cup of coffee and telling myself I could make it through one more presentation. Now my coffee is growing cold, and my mind isn't thinking of ways to steer the board to one of the less invasive proposals because Emma is here. Encountering her once was a coincidence. Twice was a gift, and the third time in as many months could be nothing short of a miracle. Emerald Trinket, according to the info sheet on the table in front of me. Emma suits her better. I flip through the brief, and a frown pulls at my face, even as a side of me wants to smile. Of course, she wouldn't blend in with the other presentations I've endured this week. Unfortunately, she isn't standing out in a good way. Objectively, she's giving the worst presentation. Her ideas are somewhat disjointed, and I'm getting lost in technical specs that none of us would ever need to know. While her concept for the museum's new self-guided tour system is one of the most unique and interesting brought before the board, it's also the most intrusive when it comes to technology. I want to hate it. I do hate it. But I remain fascinated by the intriguing bundle of contradictions she continues to be. If I hadn't met her at the gallery and seen her body language for myself and heard her own confession of her feelings about art, I would think she was a passionate aesthete. Since I know differently, I have to assume it's the technology inspiring her enthusiasm instead of the art. She has no qualms about encouraging people to pull out their phones while strolling the museum, providing reasons for them to look at a screen instead of study a canvas, and feeding them ideas and information instead of guiding them down avenues of emotional discovery. I glance around at the board members. Do they find this idea appealing? My voice isn't a vote, but they respect it. Some of these people have known me since I was a child lurking in the galleries. As a consultant, I represent the people who toiled over the art exhibited on the museum's walls. In good conscience, I can't let this become how those toils are experienced. Emma's final slide portrays a smiling family with headphones in their ears, holding their phones pointed at a famous painting. It's not a painting from this museum, though another piece from the same artist hangs in the section of gallery chosen to test the prototypes. A cartoon version of Van Gogh is supposedly telling the family about the painting, which is ridiculous because he didn't paint the thing. They might as well be watching a video online. Some of the board members look interested, though. Probably because it's fresh and modern and might appeal to teens and 20-somethings. It makes my skin crawl. But if I trash it, if I convince the board not to include it as one of the three proposals that will receive a grant to produce a prototype, there's a good chance this will be the last time I see Emma. Of all the chance meetings I've been granted, this is the first time I have the ability to prolong the connection. I shuffle a few papers on the desk in front of me, pretending I'm looking at the spec sheet she provided us at the beginning of her presentation. What I really pull out, though, is my sketchbook. After almost 2 months of knowing Emma, even in a limited capacity, more than 24 pages have been covered with at least a partial drawing of some contradictory woman. There's a girl lounging in the library while scrolling on her phone. A woman staring up at the sky and letting the rain hit her face while everyone around her huddles under umbrellas, and a teenager lit by a flashlight and sitting in her bed in a cabin full of bunk beds while others sleep in the shadows. I don't know how many of the drawings will eventually become paintings, but the plethora of options reminds me of when I first started out. I strolled the streets of New York's Upper West Side, wondering which high-rise apartments might one day have my art hanging on the wall. If I trash her proposal, I might never see her again, and I'll have to survive on whatever ideas she's already inspired. On the other hand, if I suggest she remain in the running, I will be toying with her career for my own personal gain and possibly prevent a better idea from being fully realized. A smattering of polite appreciations brings my attention back to the presentation and the woman now packing up her laptop.
Thank you for your time. We look forward to hearing from you.
Her eyes seem to purposefully flit away from my corner, as if she's pretending I'm not in the room. The moment she exits, an intense desire to follow her pulls me half out of my seat, providing the solution to my ethical dilemma. I stand to my full height and gather my papers and sketchbook into my leather satchel.
Are you leaving, Carter? We thought we'd take a preliminary poll on which projects we should move forward with.
Grace, the chairperson of the museum board, holds up the packet of information sheets for the different proposals. I believe my input is better saved for the final decision. I nod to the papers in her hand. This narrowing of choices is more a matter of vision for the museum's direction than artistic respect and inclusion. I'd originally intended to do the opposite and limit the three choices to ones I could live with, but I can no longer trust my ability to be objective. I can't decide between prolonging my exposure to Emma or ensuring she doesn't infiltrate the museum with screens and lights. So, I will leave it in God's hands. If that means I get to leave this room and try to catch Emma before she leaves, all the better. I'll get one more interaction in addition to a clear conscience. I sling my satchel strap over my shoulder and give the rest of the board a respectful nod as I head to the door. Emma is in the testing gallery, sitting on one of the benches that run down the middle of the room when it isn't set up for an event. Her finger glides all over the screen of her phone. Is she playing a game? I step closer and see she's sending a text message, but instead of thumbing it out like a normal person, she's dragging her finger rapidly around to the letters of the various words, and somehow sentences are forming. The view is almost enough to send me back into that boardroom. It's agonizing to see her bent over her phone instead of ruminating over the potential feelings and lives and personalities of the various dancers in the Edgar Degas painting in front of her. I sit next to her and slide my satchel to the floor between my feet, considering the painted dancers while I wait for her to look up. At this moment, I feel connected to the ballerina collapsed on a bench and leaning her head against a wall. The strokes aren't defined enough to allow me to see whether she is exhausted, exasperated, or in despair, but it doesn't matter. I feel elements of all those emotions right now. She finishes her text and presses a button to turn off the screen before pressing the phone between her hands and turning to me.
I wondered if I'd see you today, but I didn't think it would be in there.
I can't help a small grin. The surprise is mutual.
That's your practically volunteer position?
Does she still not know who I am? If not, I'm not going to be the one to tell her. I'm a consultant.
So you don't have a say in whether or not I get accepted?
I don't have a vote, no. I narrow my eyes at her phrasing. Just as a painter's chosen lighting changes the depicted scene, so can single words change the meaning of a sentence. And they're deciding on whether or not to accept your proposal, not you. One of her shoulders lifts and falls.
Semantics.
This means a lot to you? She presses her lips together before blowing a long sigh out between them.
More than I thought it would.
Why? She frowns at me.
It's my job. I want to be good at it.
But you're going to have to look at something you hate all day. A large wind scrunches up her face.
Please tell me you didn't impart that negative insider knowledge to the rest of them.
I can't help but laugh. No. I didn't.
Thank you.
She slides the phone into the pocket of her bag, a large nylon backpack with rubber and plastic pieces lending added structure and decoration. After slapping her hands atop her thighs, she shifts as if about to push herself into a standing position. I'm curious. I prop my elbows on my knees and lean forward, hoping she'll see how truly curious I am. Why would someone who hates art want to spend months of her life working on a project for an art museum? She doesn't answer right away. Does she even know why she did it? Was it mere obligation? Something assigned to her by work? If so, she's a better actor than I'd thought. Her passion for the idea had been evident, possibly even strong enough to get the board to overlook the poor presentation. Finally, she nods to a group of people on the other side of the room.
Them.
It's a family, or perhaps a small school group. Two adults are animatedly discussing the painting before them with hand gestures and quiet tones. Three young teenagers surround them. One girl is looking at the painting across the room with wide eyes and a thoughtful expression. Another is trying to copy the positions of the softly depicted people, while the third is standing with her arms crossed, a blank expression on her face as she stares at seemingly nothing. "You think she hates art?" I ask.
"In about 15 years, she will."
"Or she could learn to appreciate it." Emma shakes her head.
"Not unless someone gives her a reason to."
"Are you that someone?" It's a novel idea, really, that someone would want to save others from disliking something they themselves detest. She puffs out a determined sigh as she shifts her position to better face me. Once again, Emma doesn't take the turn I expect.
"My family likes to go to the theater."
My breath stalls in my lungs. Is she about to tell me she doesn't like the theater either? Does hating all art really pertain to all art? And you don't care for it?
"Not most of it, no. But I have learned a way to enjoy some shows."
I shift sideways on the bench, bending one knee and bringing it up to the polished wood surface so I can fully face her. In this moment, I have to admit that she is the most fascinating exhibit in the room. "Which is your favorite?"
"Frozen."
There is not an ounce of hesitation in her statement. "The one about the Ice Queen?" I try to keep my voice neutral, but there is an element of incredulity I can't quite hide. She nods.
"I like seeing how they change the sets and the special effects. There's a magnetic floor and onstage costume changes. The mechanics of the puppetry is amazing."
Is my growing sense of horror showing on my face? I can hear it in the flatness of my voice as I say, "You like the mechanics."
"Yes. When I went to see Phantom of the Opera, I considered how to make the chandelier fall and the mirror wall turn and such. But those are fairly easy to comprehend."
She gives a shrug, and a proud little smile touches her lips.
"Still, it made the evening better."
I swallow. Hard. This is worse than I feared. I should have stayed in that room, but beyond the door I can see Grace, Carl, and the other board members starting to file out. It's too late to go back. So your idea for a self-guided tour is to show people...
"The other elements of the painting. Did they use brushes or those pastel crayons? Is there a reason the artist used that particular size of canvas?"
"That would steal away the magic." I shift so that I'm facing the painting once more. "Are you honestly telling me that knowing Degas used oils for this particular canvas makes the ballerinas more relatable to you?"
"No."
She too turns to face the painting.
"But it makes me less bored looking at it. It makes me wonder, do oils take longer to dry than whatever the other types of paint are? Water-based, I'm assuming."
I shake my head, pick up my bag, and stand. "You, Emma Trinket, are a conundrum. She stands as well, throwing the strap of her backpack over one shoulder, catching the lapel of her pantsuit's jacket and bunching one side of it under her arm. Her lip is stuck between her teeth as she looks toward the room the board recently exited.
I know you aren't voting, but you saw all the presentations. Do you think they'll pick mine?
I want to say something hopeful and comforting, but I'm still reeling from the full understanding of what she thinks enhances the viewing of a painting. I hope not. She blinks at me.
Well, I always thought I appreciated honesty in a man, but that was a little blunt.
I shake my head as I walk past her toward the exit. Unless you learn to appreciate what's actually on the canvas, whatever you create will obscure the experience, not enhance it. She falls into step beside me.
What makes you think I don't?
You hate art.
People who hate art go to museums.
And people who hate fish go to seafood restaurants. That's why they put chicken tenders on the menu, but it's still a fish on the sign. She stumbles.
That's an odd analogy.
But an apt one. Seafood is one of my least favorite foods. I know where to locate the chicken on the menu at any seafood restaurant, and it is never in a prime location. You can't tailor the tour for non-art lovers. They need to find their own reasons for coming. I look back at the Degas painting. Even though I've chosen to play with the nuance of detail in my hyperrealism, I appreciate the soft lines of the art, the way the indistinct edges leave room for interpretation. That I might have selfishly done these works a disservice by not speaking up about knowing Emma is not the right designer for the job makes my stomach tighten and my chest ache. My only consolation is that even if the board chooses her, there will be two other options to consider. Part of me wants to dig the sketchbook out of my bag and drop it in the trash can on my way through the lobby, but I won't. Those sketches were inspired from encounters that were meant to be. If I'd been where I was supposed to be, this conversation would never have happened. After forcing this meeting, anything else I draw about her will be tainted. Yet the ideas keep flowing and my fingers itch for a pencil. Whether she knows it or not, she's given me a gift of a fresh perspective on my work. Even if I evidently need to keep her at a bit of a distance to hold on to that gift, it's possible I can return the favor. I get it. Charity galas and fancy dinners are dreadfully boring to me, but I go. I'm going to one this weekend, as a matter of fact. It's a necessary evil for my career. But I make it work by being selective about the causes. I can be bored for an evening if it means more children gain access to eyeglasses and hearing aids. It's up to me and not the event organizer to make it palatable. I can't look at Emma without getting a sense that she's desperately searching for something. Validation, purpose, belonging. Whatever it is, I won't sacrifice the way this art impacts future museum visitors for her to find it. I take two steps and then turn around. It was nice to meet you, Emma. I hope you find what you're looking for.